Amen. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to you. Thank you for being with us this morning as we usher out 2018 and welcome in 2019. What I like to do in this in-between week, in between the celebration of Christmas and the coming of 2019, is I like to give a little State of the Union sermon. That's been my tradition. And so let us do that. All throughout coastal Japan, there are these large edifices known as tsunami stones. And they are ancient, some of them as old as 600 years old. And they are a warning to the inhabitants who live on those coastal parts of that large island that they ought not to travel or build below these stones. This particular stone is one in a rural town called Ainuyoshi. And it simply says, don't build your home below this point. You may recall, but in 2011, Japan was rocked with a 9.0 earthquake and a subsequent tsunami. It was the most devastating in that country's history since the year 869. Thousands of years, or at least 8,000 years had passed since a tsunami came that was more devastating, and almost 29,000 people lost their lives as a result of that earthquake and tsunami and then flood, many of whom lived on the coast and many as a result of building below these tsunami stones. The thought was that, well, the technology has increased and they built concrete barriers and used different materials in the construction of homes, and so this ancient wisdom was forgotten or at least ignored. But in the town of Ainuyoshi, zero lives were lost. And in fact, no homes were even damaged because nobody in this rural town built below this particular tsunami stone. And when the flood hit its peak, it stayed 300 feet short of this marker. So my question this morning is, It's not a rhetorical question, so we're going to have participation. What is the thing that's preventing you from making 2019 the most meaningful, impactful, and amazing year of your life? What's stopping you from having next year be that year for you? Thoughts? You guys are all going to have an amazing year next year. That's great news. Okay, that's fair enough because it's actually a trick question, right? There's not one thing that's going to keep you from making 2019 the best year ever. It's all the things, right? It's the many, many things. We all start out every new year with resolutions, right, and desires that we want to live out. But according to a Pew survey, 80% of New Year's resolutions are completely disregarded by February. Right? Why? It's because our desire to add one more thing to the already too many things means that all of our intentions, they get swept away in a flood of busyness and good intentions and lack of energy and time. I'm becoming more and more convinced that the heart of leadership is simply identifying the values and the mission that propel you and your organization and then just protecting those boundaries. What are the boundaries that we would circle around and say, actually, everything outside of this, we're not going to pursue? What's the one thing you would draw a circle around and say, everything beyond this point, we're not going to invest in. But everything within this is going to get our full attention. At Park Street Church, this is our mission. Park Street Brethren Church exists to empower authentic disciples who live life on mission with God. Draw a circle around it. And I've already been telling our staff, 2019 is going to be the year where we kill everything that's not completely within that circle. Because we can only do the things that we are committed to doing with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our soul, and all of our strength. Protecting the boundaries of the things you hold most important is the only way you're going to succeed in living into your mission. I'm reminded of a Seinfeld episode, and you may be thinking, are we really going to start this year with an almost 30-year-old sitcom reference? Yes, we are. There's an episode where Jerry goes to rent a car, and they don't have any sedans, even though he put in a reservation for a sedan. They had to give him some other car. And Jerry said, well, how does this happen? And she said, well, we ran out. And he said, but I made a reservation. And she said, well, I know how reservations work. And he said, I don't think you do, right? Anybody can take a reservation. It's the holding of the reservation. That's the important part. And I would argue that's like probably true for life. It's great for us to make resolutions, right? It's great for us to have goals. It's great for us to have dreams. But unless you protect those, unless you draw a circle around them and say, actually, everything that threatens this is going to be something I ignore or I eliminate, we're not holding on to the thing that God's put on our heart. And I, not to over-spiritualize this, but I think we could look at the life of Jesus Christ as a protecting of the boundaries surrounding his desire to live his life in accordance with the Father. There are many, many times in Scripture where Jesus says no to people who desire healing, to people who want to make him king, to suggestions from his own disciples. He says no to those. Those are moments where he's saying no to everything else other than his mission, which is to submit his life to the Father and bring glory to his name. What I'd like to do this morning is take a biblical survey of what Scripture says should be the one thing we circle. What's the one thing as the followers of Jesus Christ that we should circle and say, everything else outside of this should not get a lot of our time and attention. Everything outside of this circle are things that are less important and therefore should not take up our time. And they're all questions. So let's begin this morning with Luke chapter 10, verses 41 through 42. This is an example of one thing that is necessary, according to Jesus. What's the one thing that's necessary? Behold, but the Lord answered to her and said, Martha, Martha, you're worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary, and Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Very familiar scripture. We remember Martha and Mary, the two sisters that welcome the Lord into their home. And their response to the Savior coming into their house is very different. Martha is scurrying around, making sure all the details are getting taken care of, making sure that everything's all right. Mary sitting at the foot of the Lord, taking in the wisdom and knowledge that he has. And what I like about this is this realization that, in fact, taking the Lord more seriously in 2019 does not mean you're going to be busier next year. Somebody say amen. It actually means the opposite. Taking the Lord more seriously in 2019 means you're going to be less worried about getting stuff done, and you're going to be more interested in sitting under God's instruction. We busy ourselves doing things for God. We sometimes forget, is this what he wants? Have we listened? Have we stilled ourselves? One thing is necessary, according to Jesus, and that is God's instruction. Put a circle around it. You're not going to do anything next year that's more important than what God is instructing you to do. But there's more. One thing you lack, right? According to Mark 10, verse 21, instruction might not be enough. But looking at him, Jesus felt a love for him and said, "One thing you lack, go and sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven, and come follow me." This coming from the story of the rich young ruler. Have you ever identified with a biblical character more in your life than the rich young ruler? I've been trying my whole life to live up to God's standard, but I still don't know where I stand. I've done all of this since I was a youth. What do I need to do to inherit eternal life? And this is something we can resonate with, right? Like, we're doing the things. I go to an ABF, I tithe. I serve once a month in the nursery. That alone should get me a crown in heaven somewhere. What else do I need to do? One thing you lack, according to Jesus, and that's a total surrender. The rich young ruler has spent a lifetime trying to do for the Lord, but he's yet to completely release his entire life into God's provision and care. I pray that 2019 is the year that you stop justifying why you're not obeying God and start actually surrendering the totality of you into his care. Draw a circle around it. Your total surrender is something you need if you're going to live a meaningful, obedient life to Christ in 2019. One thing we seek, Psalm 27, verse 4. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I might dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. I like that we have little ones in the service today. I've been spending the whole last week with my tiny humans at my house. And one of the things that was reinforced to me this week is that when you have children, one of the consequences is that all of your privacy is evaporated. Right? I try to take a nap. There's a little head there looking at me. I come out of the shower. There's at least one little head there looking at me. This revelation came home to me this week on Christmas as we were off, as I was sitting on the toilet putting a battery in a toy while a child not patiently waited for me there. Nothing. I have nothing. The reason our children are getting farther and farther spaced apart is my wife can't and I can't find time to canoodle anymore. And when you are completely, when you've said goodbye to your privacy, I change the way I am. There are words I don't say in front of my children. There are things that I really make a concerted effort to do differently than my flesh wants to do because I'm so aware of them watching and absorbing. I want to model for them something else. And that's all true. But I sometimes forget that according to Paul in the New Testament, I am now the temple that hosts the Holy Spirit. I have no more privacy in my life. The Lord is coming and going and leading me everywhere I go. Everything I say, everything I do is in front of an audience of the Holy Spirit that lives in me. May we be reminded in 2019 that God is ever present. One thing that we must seek is his nearness, is his presence. John chapter 9, verses 24 through 25. One thing we know. So a second time they called the man who had been blind and said to him, "Give glory to God." We know this man was a sinner. And he answered to them, "Whether he's a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see. What happens when people question our faith? What happens when people see us creating boundaries in our life to prioritize the Lord and his presence? Why do you do that? They might ask us. Why do you waste your time with that stuff? This man who was healed by the power of Christ, Christ's detractors are circling. They're saying, why give this guy any credit? Why are you protecting him? Why are you creating a boundary around him? And this man is able to say, it's because I'm changed. I'm transformed. I was blind, but now I'm not. Right? And we recognize that in 2019, the power of our testimony lies in the demonstration of our transformed life. Right? We keep going back to, well, this is the one thing I know, and it's God's restoration. Draw a circle around it, protect it. I don't know anything else beyond the fact that I used to be this way, and Christ came and interceded and showed me something new and healed something broken and washed away something dirty, and now I'm different. God's restoration. Finally, Philippians 3, verse 13 through 14. One thing we pursue. I like the NASB translation because it starts with brethren. That's for you, brethren. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call in God in Christ Jesus. The quickest way for you to lose focus and momentum for your goal of 2019 of having more Christ more abundantly in your life, the two things that will erode that the quickest is pride and guilt. They're going to take away. If you have pride, you feel like, I've already accomplished. I've already climbed the mountain. I'm already there. I'm the model of perfection. If you're completely ridden by guilt at all times and you don't accept the grace and the forgiveness of the Lord, you're constantly beating yourself up, constantly living in the past, constantly rehashing failures. The cross is necessary because you are unworthy. It's the antidote to pride. But the consequence of the cross is that in Christ, you're a new creation. It's the antidote to guilt. So one thing we pursue, God's kingdom, circle it. Make that your mission in 2019. Make that the only thing you care about. Eliminate everything else. Don't build time and energy. Don't build structures. Don't build pursuits outside of that circle. So we got five things. And I started this sermon by saying, don't do too many things, right? Maybe you can see those yellow circles. We've got five things. God's instruction, total surrender, God's presence, God's restoration, God's kingdom. That's too many things. We're looking for one thing. And so there's a place where all five of those things overlap. God's instruction, total surrender, God's presence, God's restoration, God's kingdom. There's actually something in the middle there, something that all of those things overlap and fall upon. And if we zoom in, we can see it. It's Jesus. He is God's instruction, manifest, enfleshed, incarnate to us. He is the example and the invitation to total surrender. He is the manifestation of God's presence. He is the embodiment of God's restoration. He's the herald and king of God's kingdom. Jesus. Put a circle around it. Draw a boundary line. and protect it. Protect it. Don't just make it a goal and then forget about it. Protect it. I went to college with a young lady who told me one time that she was considered a child prodigy. And I said, what happened? And she said, I actually will tell you. So when she was just a little, 3 and 4 years old, she was obsessed with books. Learned to read very, very early, and then began to read voraciously. Wasn't interested in TV, wasn't interested in going outside and playing. She wanted to read. And when she was 4 years old, she watched the first Harry Potter movie, right? And it was good, but she was like, it's not my thing. And her mom was like, well, do you want to read the book? And at four, she said, I do. And she did. She read the whole book at 4 years old. And then she wanted to read the next one. And then she wanted to read the next one. So she comes to kindergarten, age five, and she's got novels in her backpack. And her instructors or teachers are like, okay, yeah, this isn't a thing. You're not reading and retaining the information in these books. And her mom said, she actually is. So they tested her, and she got 100% on every exam they gave her concerning the books. And then one day, her mom came to pick her up from kindergarten, and the little girl, she ran into her, and she hugged her mom. And then she looked at her and she was like, you're not my mom. And then she saw her mom coming down to pick her up. And my friend was like, my mom decided at that time it was time to get my eyes tested. Her vision was 450 over 20. She couldn't see anything past 12 inches in front of her. So what seemed like genius level prodigy child, like this amazing talent, was actually just like her world was just this. So she wasn't interested in TV. Why? She couldn't see it. She wasn't interested in playing outside. Why? She couldn't see what was going on. And I like that story for a lot of reasons. She's obviously very intelligent. I mean, she learned to read and was reading to herself. But I love that it demonstrates what you are capable of if you actually would shrink down the purpose of your life to something right in front of you. Because she wasn't pursuing everything under the sun that we all do, she was able to achieve and master something amazing that was very close. When it comes to following Jesus, I pray that you would lose sight of everything else past him in 2019. I pray that all of us would become obsessive, that it would weird people out, how focused we are on him and him alone, and how we let everything else that detracts from following and obeying and surrendering to Christ be something that we allow to fade away. Christ, in a parable, says that there are two kinds of people. Foolish people who build their lives on sand, and wise people who build their lives upon a rock. May we circle the life of Jesus Christ in 2019 and dare not build anything beyond the parameters of that life and ministry. I pray that each one of us would get a vision, we'd get a desire, we would get a path before us of what that would look like for us. That we would say goodbye to good intentions that evaporate in a month. Instead, we would say yes to the long, slow obedience in the same direction of following our Lord and Savior. We're gonna try to do that as a church. I'm not wanting to ask you to do something that we're not going to do. In 2019, it's back to basics for us, empowering authentic disciples who live life on mission with Christ. We pray that as we focus back on the one thing, making disciples in Jesus' name, you would join us in that focus and in that endeavor. Let's pray together this morning. Lord, you're good, and all you do is good. And our lives are a series of interruptions of interruptions. We keep getting distracted and chasing another endeavor, and then we get interrupted halfway through that, and then all of a sudden, we're lost in the woods, and we have no idea who ate the breadcrumb trail to lead us back to you. May this year be different. Not because of our effort or our intention, but because of your presence. May this year be the year where we focus completely, totally, fully on you. May you obscure everything else in the perimeter. May the vision of Christ fill our sight and our lives. Thank you for the goodness and the grace that you extend to us, the promise that in you, you can make all things new. May we be new in 2019 because of you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And God's people said, we're going to receive offering and continue to worship this morning. A reminder that we are still taking those Advent offerings. And so if you're trying to end your giving in 2018 and you still have a desire to bless some of our missional partners, you can just designate that gift as an Advent gift. Otherwise, we invite you to participate in surrendering more and more of you as we continue to worship the Lord. Remain seated as the plates come forward, and then we'll all stand together as we continue to worship.
This is how we know what love is. Just one look at your cross. This is where we see. This is where we see how love works. For you surrendered your all. This is how we know that you. Where we chose to love you in return, for you so loved the world that you gave your only son. Love amazing, so divine. We will love you in return for this life that you give, for this death that you have died. Love amazing, so this is how we know what love is. Just one look at your cross. This is where we see. This is where we see how love works. For you surrendered your all. This is why we know that you. Love amazing, so divine. We will love you in
I get nervous, or when I'm just bored, or I don't have anything to do, I find my hand doing this. Anybody else, Liz? Play with your wedding ring? As far as nervous tics goes, I like that one. Because it reminds me, God is good. I have a wife. That's amazing. And every time I touch it, I remind myself of the promises that Leah and I made to one another. We're going to be for one another. We're going to forsake all others. We're going to be completely committed and surrendered to serving each other. And I think it's fitting that we, in at least the West, we indicate that to the world by putting a ring, a circle around a finger and saying, I'm boundaried. I've got someone that I'm committed to, and everyone outside of it is not unimportant, but certainly not as important to me. And when you think of Christ's life and death, and that as a consequence of his resurrection, Paul says that the church is now the bride of Christ. There's a recognition that Christ has circled you, the people of God, and has forsaken all others and said that he lived and gave his life so that you could grow and flourish in redemption. In 2019, I pray that as the bridegroom desires the bride, so we would desire the Lord. That we would remember our vows, that we would draw a circle around Jesus and forsake everything else outside. Receive this benediction. May your life be bound up in Christ. And may you recognize that is not a drudgery or an enslavement, but actually the way to experience freedom and joy, giving your life away to him and him alone. We pray in 2019 that the failures of this last year would fade away, erased by the precious blood of Christ. We pray that the hopes and dreams of the future will also fade away if they're not focusing on the power in the person of the Lord. We pray that you would be filled up to fullness with a compassion and a conviction that there's one thing that you want next year to count for, and it's more of Christ alive in you. We bless you to keep those boundaries in 2019 in Jesus' name, and God's people said, amen. Go in peace, church.